Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And listen, you have prescribed hope for so many women yourselves this week. Thank you so much to everyone who contributed to our preborn campaign. Our goal was to sponsor 4,500 ultrasounds. We're well over 5,000 now. It's not too late, though. If you just want to pile on the blessings, just go to afr.net if you want to continue to contribute to that campaign. And as I promised yesterday, today we are starting a new series that we're going to be focusing on in 2025. My prescription for hope today for your family is to clear your clutter. Now, I know you think, oh my goodness, really, Jessica? We're going to spend a year on this? Yes, we're going to spend a year on this. My husband is rejoicing right now because this is going to be the year. I am having full transparency and accountability for you that I am going to go on this journey. And I'm going to drag you along with me because there are some of you who need it. There are some of you who want it, who are ready for it. And there are some of you saying, no, please, I'm about to turn the radio dial. Don't do it. Let me tell you why. And we're calling this a Declutter Diaries because it's my story and your story. And we're going to take a deep dive into those cluttered corners of our homes and our hearts. This is important. And uncover how simplifying our spaces can transform our families. I feel so passionate about this. Clutter is not just about messy closets. It is not just the overflowing junk drawers or the garage havens that are filled with random declared sacred items, dare I say, devoted to just in case scenarios. But what if just in case? It's about what those things represent. It is the stress of constantly feeling behind. It is the tension in our relationships over things left undone. It is the overwhelming busyness that makes it hard to focus on what truly matters. Now, clutter impacts more than just our physical surroundings and more than our homes. It impacts our mental health, our family dynamics, and even how we experience time together. Research shows clutter increases anxiety, it decreases productivity, and it creates a sense of chaos that seeps into every area of our lives. For families, it amplifies conflict, it makes our schedules more packed, and it robs us of the peace and the connection that we all crave at home. I looked up this definition of clutter in the dictionary, and it said a collection of things lying about in an untidy mass. I have clutter in my home. And you may be thinking, well, that's not me. But this is not just for women. This is not just for men. This is not just for families with little kids. This is for everyone. And if you are a person who has gotten control of your clutter, which is less than half of us, by the way, then feel free to listen in and get some insight on how to encourage other people and get some affirmation of the things that you're missing out on. You can listen to this episode and say, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from that chaos. But clutter has a sneaky way of sparking arguments and stress in family. So if you're thinking, I'm not really sure, Jessica, I'm not in yet, let's see if you identify with any of these scenarios. What about the whose responsibility is it fight? This is what happens. One parent is frustrated about a messy kitchen counter that has unopened mail and kids' homework and artwork and just random items, and they ask their spouse or their kid to clean it up, and they're met with resistance or excuses and say, but I didn't put it there. I don't know what to do with that. I'm going to get to it. And those arguments spiral into feelings of resentment, with one person feeling like they carry the burden of keeping the house tidy while the others just won't take care of it. How about the I can't find it panic? A kid can't find their soccer cleats because your garage, your mudroom, your entryway is overflowing with shoes and bags and jackets, and tempers flare as everyone panics and scrambles to find that missing item. People blame each other. You may go out and buy an item that you don't even need because you can't find the item you have. That is really tough. And that person who lost it feels guilty, and the other one is frustrated. How about the we don't have space for this debate? Somebody wants to buy a new piece of furniture or another toy for the kids, but the other says, no, we don't have room for it. You need to get rid of something. This escalates into a deeper conversation. Next thing you know, you're fighting about spending habits, about priorities, or who is responsible for keeping things organized, or who has the authority in the relationship to say, I can buy this and put it here, or no, you can't. How about the why won't you get rid of that argument? One person wants to declutter a specific area. Maybe it's the garage. I don't know. And asks another family member, why can't you get rid of this? And the response is defensive. No, I need that. That's special to me. I'll use it one day. This is my space. These arguments reveal differences in how family members value objects, and they lead to feelings of judgment or disrespect or just not being understood or appreciated or seen. Okay, how about the this house is driving me crazy breakdown? One spouse feels overwhelmed by the clutter in the house, especially during a busy day, and they start lashing out. Why can't we ever keep this place clean? Why does the house have to look like this? Why do we have to live this way? And that type of outburst creates tension. It creates guilt, and it leaves family members feeling blamed or inadequate without any clear solutions because I'm trying, and yet somehow nothing ever works. How about the no time for fun dilemma? Like, you want to do something fun, but it's delayed because you got to clean up your clutter. You're doing a organization Saturday. You're waking up your kids saying, we're going to clean out the garage today. And all the people do not cheer. That doesn't happen. And that stress really steals precious time from family bonding. It creates feelings of frustration. You can't enjoy being with your family because you're looking at a stack of clutter. What about the hosting in your home dilemma? So imagine you're preparing for a dinner party. One partner is the social partner, really excited to host, has already extended the invitation. The other one is anxious. The house isn't good enough. I got to stuff this stuff somewhere. That pile of mail on the counter, the toys on the floor, overflowing laundry basket, just a glaring reminder of what isn't done. And you start arguing. No one cares about the mud. And then one spouse says, no one cares about this. They're coming to see us. And the other one is, how can you not care? This is so embarrassing. They'll think we're lazy or we don't have it together. And then one person feels judged, the other person feels stifled, and you have conflict. Now, I'm saying these things with a bit of affection for you all, but these are deeply held conflicts that can happen. I have had that before. So last year, we had Kathy Lipp on the show. She shared with us first, our first episode with her was on Sabbath soup, and then she did another episode with clutter. And I want to tell you, I was so convicted by that, that I walked away and talked with my producer and I said, we are going to tackle this. Kathy is a best-selling author known for helping women discover that peace is possible in every area of their lives, even their out-of-control houses. She's the author of Clutter Free and a bunch of other books, the Clutter Free Home, Making Room for Your Life. And she's the creator of the Clutter Free Academy. I said, we've got to have her on. And I have committed to you to have a series this year. About once a month, we'll be doing Declutter Diaries. I will share my progress with you. I hope you will share your progress with me and with others. And here's my entry today before I bring Kathy on to help us with some real practical help and hope for decluttering our lives and our hearts and our homes. So I struggle with clutter. I'm thinking Dear Diary here. I struggle with it because for me, and maybe you can relate to this, it's never just stuff. For me, every item I hold on to, it carries some sort of deeper weight or a story or a sense of security. And sometimes I feel like I'm holding on to things out of a fear of just being without. I don't like that feeling. I don't want to be without what I need, without resources, without memories, or if I'm really honest, without the comfort of knowing I'll have what I need when I need it. And there's a part of me that fears not having enough, a whisper from past experiences where I've gone without, or I've seen how quickly things can be taken away, and holding on to those tangible items feels like I'm holding on to control in a world that feels like it's out of control. And then there's the emotional attachment. So many of the things I keep are tied to relationships, to moments, special moments that I've shared with people I love. And those tangible items, somehow to me, they feel like proof that those connections mattered, that they were real, even if I know deep down that the real bonds are invisible and far more enduring than any physical object could ever be. But it's hard for me, and I imagine it's hard for some of you, to let go of something that reminds me of a person or a time that I want to hold close. Letting go of clutter feels like letting go of safety somehow, of certainty, of the visible signs of life and life love and life lived. But I know that keeping everything doesn't truly make me more secure. It's just burying me, if we're honest. It's killing me. It's killing my soul. It kills our relationships. It kills our sense of peace. The hardest part is trusting God that I can live with less and that the things that matter aren't things at all. Whew, okay, well, that was pretty vulnerable. Here you go. I told you I would be accountable. And so now it is my pleasure to bring back on Kathy. Kathy, I am so grateful that you have agreed to join us for 2025 and guide us through the Declutter Diaries and this journey. Welcome back.
Well, I think you've just unpacked a year's worth of topics. So I am glad that we are in this together through 2025. And just thank you, because here's what I imagine, Jessica, that people look at you, you know, you have all these roles, and you're a doctor, and you're a nurse, and you're a lecturer, and you're a radio host. And we look at that and we think, she has got it all together. And I mean, but don't you, when you see other people,
yeah,
and you think, you know, they're successful in all these areas. And here's what I have come to understand, that people who are cluttery, our brains are just built differently. So, you know, you may have seen decluttering systems or organizing systems, and you're like, why can I do things in other areas of my life, but in this area, I'm a loser, I'm terrible, there's something wrong with me. And I just have to say, here we have Jessica, who everybody, I mean, you don't let people down in your day-to-day life, correct?
I try not to.
You're not a letter downer.
I try.
Yeah, but I would imagine, you know, with what's in your control, you don't. But it feels so counterintuitive that we feel like we let ourselves down at home. And so I hope that the first thing that people can see in what you just talked about there is that we are not created this way by accident. Everybody has their strengths. Everybody has their weaknesses. Everybody has their conquests. Everybody has their challenges. This just happens to be ours. And as soon as we start to normalize that this is a challenge for us and say, not that I want to leave it this way, but I'm not broken because I am this way. Then we can start, when we start to put aside the shame, we can start to work on the issue.
Well, that is so helpful. And you know, when I started reading your book, The Clutter-Free Home, Making Room for Your Life, mm-hmm. you shared your own journey too, Kathy. And that's what's mm-hmm. so encouraging to me. Mm-hmm. The way this book starts, for our listeners to know, is I wanted to just give up. I was so tired of living in chaos, tired of feeling like mm-hmm. I needed to remodel the house every time I wanted to clean it. Making life run with a husband and four kids took so much stuff and I had no place to put it. I felt helpless, unable mm-hmm. to change. So this was the life we were doomed to, controlled and not so controlled chaos. And you went on, Kathy, to share an experience of you where you went to your friend Deb's house and you said, oh, you didn't need to clean the house for me. And she said, I didn't. And you didn't believe her, but nope. Over time, you realized, no, she lives a different way. And so I want to start by telling our listeners that this is your wish for them. This is what you shared in the book. I want you to have a home that stays decluttered. I want you to feel at peace when you walk into your home. I want you to have a home that nourishes you and the people you love. And Kathy, you're going to help us do that. And today, what we're going to focus on is something very practical. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about 100 spaces that are hiding your clutter and how to deal with them. Kathy's going to introduce us to these 100 spaces. I'm going to take this journey. I hope that at least 54% of you that struggle with clutter will take it with us. And we'll be right back with more from Kathy Lipp on The Clutter-Free Home, Making Room for Your Life. Don't go away. We'll be right back. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
When I take a step back, I can see it. All the pain, all the fear we've been feeling. Losing sight of the thing that we're needing, that we're needing. Honestly, I think we just need Jesus. Honestly, I think we just need Jesus. Have we all gone mad? Have we lost our minds? What used to be wrong, we say that is right. Jesus.
Welcome back, friends. That's honestly, we just need Jesus. And boy, do we. We really, really need Jesus. And you may be thinking as you listen to the first segment, I don't know if I can do this. And I know, I told Kathy during the break, there is someone out there who is sitting there feeling like, yes, I struggle with this. Yes, I've tried to get control of this for years, but I can't. This will be the time. There is always hope. Welcome to what we're calling the Declutter Diaries, where we tackle the chaos in our homes and we rediscover the peace and joy we deserve. Because let's face it, our clutter is more than just stuff. It's the weight we carry. It's stealing time. It's stealing space. It's stealing energy from the things that truly matter. Our families, our relationships, and even our mental health. But here's the good news. Change starts today. And we are going to challenge you to a concept called 100 Spaces. By we, I mean me and Kathy Lipp, author of The Clutter-Free Home, Making Room for Your Life. And Kathy, I'm just going to give it back to you because we have talked about this a lot now. Let's dive into the practical and say, what is this 100 Spaces concept and can I really find hope in this?
Yes. Okay. So I want to challenge you that when get a notebook, if you're a cluttery person, I know you have notebooks in your house. Okay. I know this about you. And I want you to get a notebook and a pen. And anytime you go to a space in your house and you just go, ugh, And we all have those spaces, right? I want you to just write that down. And the 100 spaces are the spaces in our house where we go to every, you know, we might go to 20 of them in a day, and we just feel unsettled every time we go there. And I want to challenge you that one day at a time, you take 15 minutes in one of those spaces. And the first thing people tell me is, Kathy, you haven't been to my house. 15 minutes is not going to make a difference. And you know what? You're right. The first time you do something for 15 minutes, you're going to be like, well, that didn't make a difference. But can I tell you by the third day that you spend 15 minutes decluttering, what you are doing is you are reversing the trajectory of your house.
Ooh,
because
that's good.
Most, right? Because I heard what you said. Hey, kids, this Saturday we're going to clean out the garage. First of all, is there a more depressing sentence in the English language?
Not right? to them.
Not to them. But I know we want it because we want to be able to function. We want to be able to find those cleats. I 100% get it. But I think and I'm calling it the HGTV effect, we underestimate the difference that 15 minutes can do. You know, we see people, they go in and they're spending, you know, a whole day cleaning things out. And that feels great in the moment, but I promise you the next day it starts to get cluttered again because there's a blank space, right? There's a blank space and you can put things in it. But when we just take 15 minutes at a time, yeah, because a blank space demands to be filled in our houses, especially when, you know, if you say, I decluttered the garage, yay, but now what about the shed in the back? Well, I can start putting that stuff in the garage. Like, it's just human nature. And so I want you to just start making a list of those places that are kind of driving you crazy. And we can already tell you some of those things. It's the utensil drawer. It is the junk drawer in your kitchen. It's your bathroom, you know, the drawer you pull out for your makeup. It's your sock drawer. It's where you're filing things. You know, there are places in every house. I can't tell you the 100 spaces because the last house I lived in is so radically different than the house I live in now, but there are spaces in every house that are going to need to be attacked. But for me, it's the left side of the barn. You know, there's a place over there. You may not have a barn, so you're thinking it's that third shelf in the garage that I can never find anything. Start to write those down. And I just want you to put next to that entry the date that you do the 15 minutes. So all I want you to do, Jessica, is I want you to set a timer for 15 minutes. It can be on your phone. It can be She Who Will Not Be Named, your little robot device. If I start to say it, everybody across the country, theirs will go off. So we're not going to do that. But however you want to set the 15 minutes, and then I want you to take a space. And we have a group, it's called Clutter Free for Life, it's a paid group. These are people who really want to make a difference in their lives. And we decided that this space is 2 feet by 2 feet by 1 foot deep. That's as much as you're allowed to do. You can't do your entire kitchen. You know, you're going to do a drawer at a time. Or a shelf at a time. We're not going to try to do an entire room. We're going to do 15 minutes, and there are going to be some hard decisions in those 15 minutes, whether you're going to throw something away, whether you're going to donate it, or it just needs to be put in a different area of your house. And then you're going to have that space, and it's going to be done. And can I tell you, the next time you go to that space, you're going to be hit with a small sense of peace that you don't normally get when you're opening that makeup drawer in the morning, or you're opening that sock and, you know, underwear drawer or whatever it is. And you're going to start to have islands of peace in your house. And this is going to want to help you keep moving forward. And so do the things that are bugging you the most first. And you may say, well, I need more than 15 minutes. You know what? You'll come back to it another day. But at least you're doing that first layer and making your house a more usable place to live.
Well, that is really encouraging. And I will confess that in preparation for this, I got a little notebook. I may or may not, Kathy, I'm looking at my desk right now. And you can't see it if you're watching on the video, but I may or may not have about 7 notebooks on my desk right now. So when you said, I know you and you have a notebook. Yes, I have a notebook and I have a plethora of pens. So yes, I have a notebook. I got a notebook, Kathy, with little rocket ships on the front because clutter drives my husband crazy. And he's a rocket scientist. Yeah. And I'm going to remind myself that I'm doing this for him, that I'm doing this because he is going to be so happy. I'm doing it for me, but I'm doing it for us. And even now I can tell you he is rejoicing and a little bit skeptical still saying, we'll see how this goes.
Course.
But you know, this is so important.
Well, can I just tell you something about that?
Yes.
Say, you know what, for this to be a success, I need to be, for us to be pulling in the same direction. And so I know he's already a declutterer, he's a thrower awayer, but he needs to be on Jessica's team too. So just say, you know what? I can see your commitment, honey. I can see that you really want this. If you ask him to change some of his language around this, it's going to go even further, because I love that you're doing this for him, and you're doing it for yourself, and you're doing it for your kids. Like, there's so many good things that come out of this. And I, you know what, our relatives are suspicious, because we have tried every program under the sun and we have failed. But there's going to be something in your life, whether it's your motivation. You know, this is a good one. You're going out to, you know, thousands of people on the radio. That is great accountability. And to just say, I want this to be different, so I'm going to ask for different things. I'm going to ask for you to be cheering me on. I'm going to ask for you to prop me up when I'm discouraged. I think getting our families to understand that we are trying something different will help the mood of the house be different too.
As always, Kathy, you give such great advice. And, you know, I feel like you're my quasi-therapist here, because we do get so down on ourselves, right? We do.
Yes.
Just like you were talking about. I mean, I think about, okay, yes, I can do all of these things successfully in my life. I may have a doctoral degree, but I am a clutter keeper, Kathy. I am. And it's just something that I cannot seem to get control of. But I love this concept of 100 spaces. And everybody's got 100 spaces, because especially you're talking about how small they are. So tell us more about how this is going to be different than that traditional room by room decluttering, and how it prevents overwhelm, and how you've talked about this before, you know, just a few minutes each day can make such a difference.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And, you know, I have written books that go room by room, but we're not staying in that room for very long. We're doing that first layer, right? The things that bother you the most. And so I want you to go into the rooms. If you want to start putting together that 100 spaces list, and you just go room by room by room. And here's the thing that I know. There are some rooms that are so much easier than others. You know, throwing things away in your fridge is so much easier than going through grandma's photo albums. Mm-hmm. There are different levels of stuff in our house. And so as you're going through each room and you're writing down the spaces, here's the good news about that. Because us cluttery people, we get distracted so easily. And I think that's part of the reason you are the success you are, because you've been able to focus on a lot of different things. But it can also be a challenge for us when we say, I want to make this kitchen workable. I want to make this space, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, well, I cleaned out the medicine cabinet today, but look at the kitchen. And we can get down on ourselves so easily. Here's the thing. You're working on the medicine cabinet today. You say, but you know what? The kitchen is on my list. And today I'm going to make sure that everything is sanitary in there. I'm going to make sure that I have a space to prepare dinner. And I'm going to worry about that drawer that sticks every time I try to open it because the soup ladle is catching on it because there's so much stuff. I'm going to worry about that next Thursday. And I can live with that drawer until next Thursday. But Thursday's coming and I will take care of it. And so what you're doing is you're saying, I don't have to. When we don't have a list, our brain tries to focus on everything at once, and it can't manage that. So when you were going to school, you had to study the book that was in front of you. When you are doing your radio program, you have to concentrate on the guest that is in front of you. And so that's what we're going to do with this. We're going to concentrate on the space that we've designed for today, instead of saying, you know what, I should just do my desk because I don't want people to see my desk. We are going to focus on the one that's assigned to us. We're going to set 15 minutes. We're not going to do a huge space. We're going to do the 2x2x1. We're going to do as much as we can. And when we're done, we're not going to leave piles next to it to go through. Even if you have to put those things back in the drawer for right now, you'll at least know where they are. And then the next thing I want you to do, after you've decluttered that space, I want you to think of one thing that might help it to be a little bit more organized. Do you need just a little tray to put your keys in right there. I just did that crazy corner in my kitchen that's under the cabinet where we put all of our pots and pans. And I splurged. I spent $19.99 to do a pot organizer so that I can just grab them when I need them instead of having them all stacked together. But, and maybe you can't afford to buy anything to be organized. That's okay. Right now, you could find an old shoebox. Or you can find, I know we all have bins too, because we've all bought the bins, guys, and we can put a bin someplace in our garage where we can keep all the sports equipment. So you're going to declutter. You're going to do just one thing to organize that space a little bit more. And then I would really encourage you to label that drawer, that shelf in some way. So that especially spaces that are, you know, a cabinet or something like that that has a little drawer. So you know what goes in there, but you also know what doesn't go in there. So you're not finding keys in the arts and crafts section. You're not finding, you know, your scissors in your makeup drawer, unless, you know, there are scissors that are good for that kind of stuff. But you know what I mean. You're not finding your paper scissors in there. But all you're going to do is you're going to declutter for 15 minutes. You're going to do one little thing to organize the space, and you're going to label it. And when you do that in 100 spaces over 3 to 4 months, your house is going to become so much more functional. And it, like I said, it's going to change the trajectory of how you live.
That is a pretty bold promise there, Kathy, and I love it. Yes, change the trajectory of your home and create islands of peace. I've been taking notes as you're talking, and this is doable. This is something that everybody can pick. Everybody has a piece of paper. They can write down 100 spaces that are no bigger than 2 feet by 2 feet by 1 foot. So we're talking about a drawer, a cabinet, a countertop, and write those down and keep progress, the power of progress tracking, being able to check that off, because who doesn't love a good checklist? I love a good checklist.
Yeah.
And being able to see over time, changing the trajectory of your home. That is so exciting. We're talking to Kathy Lipp, author of The Clutter-Free Home, Making Room for Your Life. And I've got more questions. I want to know, Kathy, when we come back, what to do with those sentimental items? What do you do when you get stuck? Or how to handle seasonal items? We'll talk about some more practical ways that we can just get started on this journey to take control of our homes and to have a positive impact on the relationships there. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back with more on the other side of this break.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Made for More by Josh Baldwin. And you are made for more. You may be listening to our episode today, Declutter Diaries. We're talking with Kathy Lipp about taking control of the clutter and finally having a clutter-free home and freeing our hearts up for relationship building, relationship healing, because so often clutter leads to conflict. I've been sharing that. And if you're watching on the video feed, hold on just a second. I'm going to share with you. Yeah, I just may or may not have pulled my Christmas tree into the frame because I haven't taken it down yet. I have trouble. I don't know where I'm going to put the ornaments yet. I've got to get some clutter organized. So if you are feeling like, you know, this is just you and you don't know what to do, I am there with you. This is a struggle that I have. This is conflict I see in my family, and we are getting some help and some hope today. And Kathy, I know that you're not perfect either, and you have your own story to tell, and I would love for you to share that with us too.
Yeah, you know, I had something happen last week that really showed me where my journey has been. About, you know, 20 years ago when I finally decided I had to do something about this. If you wanted to come to my house for a cup of coffee, either I needed 2 weeks notice or we were having coffee on the front porch. These were our options because I couldn't figure out how to manage all of these things. And it was so interesting. Last Thursday, I also do some coaching for people who are writing books and doing those kind of things. And so they come to my house in the mountains, which is pretty far away from civilization. Our closest grocery store is an hour away. And so when they came, they said, oh, we feel so silly. We booked a hotel, but we booked it in the opposite direction. So we're going to have to go an hour and a half out of our way to go stay at this hotel tonight. And I'm like, well, why don't you just stay here? And they said, oh, no, we couldn't put you out. And I'm like, honestly, there's no putting us out. I mean, the rooms are made up. Everything's fine. There was nothing in me when I started this clutter-free journey that could have said that I could have done hospitality at that level. There was nothing. There was no indication. I didn't even hope or dream for something like that. And to be able to say, not only can you come to my house, but you could stay here. You're not just coming into the living room. You're coming into those rooms that we often close the doors on. And I'm not saying everybody needs to be doing, you know, that kind of extreme hospitality. But there's something in your life that you want to look different than it does right now. You want to be able to go to that kitchen drawer and get the scissors. You want to be able to find your keys every time you're leaving the house. You want to be able to invite somebody over for a cup of coffee because our hearts long to help hurting people. And you've put up barriers because you can't do that right now. And I just want to say that it is possible. God cares about the state of your heart way more than he cares about the state of your house. But he also knows that you long for these things and they are possible.
Well, that is really encouraging. Again, that's such a great word of truth, Kathy, that God cares much more about the state of our heart than the state of our house. And so often the state of our house impacts the state of our heart. So recognizing the connection here, it is such a holistic health thing. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm just determined to finally tackle this. And so as you're describing your story, Kathy, so many of us can relate to that. I'm sure there's many people listening who've thought, yeah, that has impacted my relationships in some way. And you talked earlier, you said some great words to my husband, which I already texted him to make sure that he was listening. You know, like, did you hear that part? Like, I'm going to do this, but you need to do this. What other advice do you have? Because this is a tender space. It can be hard because you can say, I've tried before, I failed. What advice would you give to those who are supporting, who are thinking, oh, I'm already sending this episode to my spouse because they need to hear this? Right. What do they need to hear?
Right. So here's what I know. Shame has never changed me in a good direction. I have, we can shame people, and that's not what I'm saying your husband did. Please hear me. But I know it was interesting. I was talking with somebody today, and it brought up a memory from high school, which let's just say it was more than a few decades ago, where I was carrying around a backpack, and I couldn't find an assignment. And the teacher brought me up to the front of the class and made me go through my backpack in front of the whole class. And the shame from that, I have blocked that out. I had forgotten the memory without forgetting the memory because I remembered the feeling of it. And so here is what I would say. If you are the person who's like, I'm going on this decluttering journey and things are going to be different, everything I've talked about in these 100 spaces, it doesn't rely on other people in your house. So you can do this on your own without getting the cooperation necessarily from your kids or your spouse, because it's very hard to get people on board. And I'm not saying it should be your responsibility, but I'm just saying if you want to make changes, one person can make a change in your house. If you're the person who's tempted to send this episode to somebody that you love and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get this into shape. You know, advice is so much better taken when it's asked for. When I am saying these are some tender spots, and probably, Jessica, I don't know about you, but when my mom would come into my room and say, this is a pigsty and, you know, things like that, it did not encourage me to want it. It encouraged me to want to crawl into a ball and just not participate. And so if there is somebody in your life that struggles with clutter, realize, one, you married them because of that brain. You married them because of who they are. This is a challenge for them. And so ask, how can I be a support to you? And I think decluttering has to be a family activity. Even if one person is naturally a declutterer, the family creates clutter. Even if you're just married and there are no kids, as managing the household creates clutter, cooking creates clutter, all of these things create clutter. And so because they are created as a household, they should be dealt with as a household. But if you don't have participation from somebody, go ahead and start on your own. You can make a difference in your own life. And it's been amazing to me how many people in my Clutter Free for Life community have started to declutter, and their more cluttery spouse start to make some steps in the same direction. And that's not your responsibility, but, you know, a high tide raises all boats, right? Mm-hmm. And when we feel like, oh, there is positive progress going in that direction, it's amazing how often other people will come along.
Well, those are, again, such encouraging words, Kathy. And I think that it is really a challenge for so many marriages, for so many families. Mm. And it's important for us to have that tender spot. I love what you said about, you know, I think about even with my husband, he's an engineer, Kathy. He will tell mm-hmm. our kids, like, yeah, emotions are not his strong suit. And I'm sure that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons that God brought us together, because I am very sentimental. Yeah. I am very emotional. Right. And we complement each other in that way. But those same strengths that attract us to each other, they can also irritate us, because we think, okay, well, yeah, I don't have that. And that's a reflection back of something I don't have. Like, why can't you be more like me? But that's not why I fell in love with mm-hmm. you. And that's something that I struggle right. with a lot, Kathy, is those sentimental things. And you will, I'm mm-hmm. sure we'll unpack this more as the year goes on, but give us a little preview yeah. of that sentimental, you know, attachment to things, and why it's so hard to get rid of those things that are sentimental in value. All of us can clean out the junk drawer, like you said, the refrigerator. Okay, yeah, I love throwing away expired stuff. Like, that gives me joy. But sentimental things, yes, oof, that's another story.
Yeah, so I'm just going to give you one tip of a dozen right now. Let's talk about your kids and sentimental stuff. One of the things that I did, and I don't even know where I thought of this, but I got a tub for each of our kids. And when they were in preschool and kindergarten, I filled that up with all of their scribble papers and, you know, the first time they touched construction paper, all those kind of things. But then I just said, you know what, this is the box that when they move out, I want them to go through. I want them to, you know, that I've been a good curator of their lives and their passions and their ideas. And so letting them go through it with you too and saying, we're keeping everything in this one tote, in this one tub. And so, you know, when they left, they actually didn't want half the stuff, which was fine. But, you know, a place to keep, we don't need rooms of sentimental things. And oftentimes I will say, if you don't want to put it up in your room, is this the kind of sentiment you want to keep? You know, because sometimes we keep something from a grandparent, but maybe it doesn't have the best memory attached to it. So I've only kept things from my grandparents that were about their love for me or something that we shared together. Just because somebody you loved owned it doesn't mean that it's a good representation of them in your home. And so I've kept the earrings that my grandmother passed down to me. I've kept the recipe box because when she would come visit, we would cook together. But other things, she had a fur stole. That's not something I needed to keep. And so when we can look through it, it doesn't just represent the person, it represents the relationship. I think that's a good lens to look at it through.
You know, that reminds me of, you know, my beloved grandmother went to be with Jesus about a year and a half ago. I was very close to her.
Oh,
I know, it's so hard. And so I have her things and my sister has been just needling me, like, have you looked through that stuff yet? I'm like, I can't. It's not time yet. But, you know, even in looking at one of the pictures that we had had of her right before she passed away, we had said, hey, we've never seen this picture of you. And a shadow kind of crossed across her face. And she said, yeah, she said that day, you know, your grandfather and I, they were just in their early in their dating relationship, young love, and they had had an argument. And so to her, that picture wasn't special at all. It reminded her of an argument. And I think here we are, you know, just over sentimentalizing something that wasn't special to her. So I love the advice of what represents that relationship with her. And you said you just have one of 12. So I really look forward to exploring that further together. Well, Kathy, I want to make sure that you have time to tell our listeners, for those people who think, you know what, this is me. I am feeling that conviction. I feel a call to action. What are you talking about with this Clutter Academy? People who are really committed, tell us how to find you.
Yeah, if you go on Facebook and you go to Kathy Lipp's Clutter Free Academy, you just put that in the search bar. We have a free group, and just tell them that you heard us on the Dr. Nurse Mama show, and so we will let you in. We screen people to make sure that, you know, we don't have anybody with ill intent coming in there, but we know your listeners are good. And, you know, you can start to share some of your struggles, some of your challenges, and some of your victories in this free group, and you will be encouraged. It's a great group of human beings. We would love for you to come and hang out with us.
And thank you so much, Kathy, because you are offering our listeners also a free downloadable checklist. You can go to kathylipp.com/100hidden spaces. That's kathylipp.com/100hidden spaces. And you can get a free downloadable checklist and you can start working on your own 100 hidden spaces. You can also get a copy of Kathy's book, The Clutter-Free Home, Making Room for Your Life. And if you're thinking, wait, what were all those things that you said? Just go to kathylipp.com. That's kathylipp.com. Or you can email us at info@drnursemama.com and we'll be glad to connect you. Well, thank you so much for listening in on today's prescription for hope is clearing your clutter. And in the middle of all of that, if you've accomplished it and you're in the middle of conquering it, or you're just starting your journey, I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. I'll be back here tomorrow with Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, talking about the healthy habit of the week. Until next month, we'll have another Decluttering Diaries episode. We'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.